The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Is it safe to say that Lamar can't win the big game? I'm going to get into that in a second. You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Did we see Cam start his last game for the Pats? Did we see the official end of the Pats dynasty? I'm going to talk about that. Be a part of Max Kellerman Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-STAY-ESPN. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. You know what I feel like, Raj, when I read all those intros?
Yeah.
I feel like Brondo, it's what plants crave. Remember from Idiocracy? Anytime he said something, they had to like credit some spine. Why are you saying that? Because I get paid every time I do, genius. I can't say a word. I can't just have an opinion or say a word. Everything is brought to you by someone.
Ka-ching!
Let's start with Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson. Everyone's like, he can't beat you from the pocket. And what I was saying, see, I'm setting it up right away that I'm the hero in this drama, Raj. In this story, everyone else was saying one thing, and only I alone. Everyone's saying he has to beat you from the pocket. The problem is he's not accurate enough. But I was saying, I don't know if it's that. I've seen Lamar Jackson be accurate. What I haven't seen is him ever beating the team he has to beat. When the light shines brightest, how does he play? So I thought, no, this is not just a Lamar Jackson can't beat you from the pocket kind of problem. I think it's a larger problem, a more important problem. Lamar can't play under the most intense pressure. I mean, look, I understand the argument. Look, even to get to the NFL, let alone to win NFL games, you're performing under pressure constantly. I get that. And I don't mean pressure in terms of like the defense is bringing pressure. I mean the moment, the pressure of the moment. And there are, as Meek Mill said, levels to this. And on a certain level of pressure, Lamar is not Lamar. Now, what do I mean by that? Okay. Lamar Jackson. This is one of the most incredible stats I've ever heard in sports, period. Against everyone else is 24-1. That's not possible, except for the teams I'm about to mention. 24-1 in the regular season? 24-1 in the NFL? Now, I'm being cute with it because I'm excluding certain teams. But I'll tell you who those teams are. Who is the one team? Which is the one team in the AFC that you absolutely must beat if you want to win a Super Bowl? Obviously, the Kansas City Chiefs, because they have Patrick Mahomes. Not to mention offensive weapons, an underrated defense, and Andy Reid. But you got to beat the Chiefs. Lamar Jackson's played three games against the Chiefs. He's 0-3. And he hasn't played particularly well. You have to win in the playoffs. Lamar Jackson's played in two playoff games. He's 0-2. And he hasn't played particularly well, although first playoff game he ever played in 2 years ago, he looked lost in the first half, like a deer in headlights. Oh my God, what happened to this guy? By the end of the game, he was playing much better. And the second playoff game was an improvement upon the first. So good for him. He's moving in the right direction. He lost both games. It's a team sport, da da da. Uh-huh. But he's 24-1 when it doesn't matter, right? Or as much. And then yesterday, he played the Steelers, the number one rivalry in the NFL right now, when you factor in history plus present day circumstances, is clearly Steelers and Ravens. So in that rivalry game, with Roethlisberger in the game, not with a third string quarterback, with Roethlisberger. Last time Roethlisberger played the Ravens, it was Flacco quarterback. Last time Lamar Jackson, or last year when Lamar Jackson played the Steelers, there was no Roethlisberger. This was the first real Steelers-Ravens game of Lamar Jackson's career. Could he win a game like this? It was close, but the answer was he couldn't, and he was a big reason why he couldn't. So 24-1 against the NFL, except for your six biggest games. Three against the Chiefs, two in the playoffs, and one against the Steelers with Roethlisberger. 24-1 all other times. 0-6 when it matters most. Don't tell me the defense was going to make sure that Lamar Jackson had to beat him. And the Steelers have an elite defense, especially against the run. But they're good, period. Uh-huh. You think every other team hasn't known that? You think the Steelers are the first great defense he's played? And the Steelers aren't the only... What about the two playoff losses? What about the losses to the Chiefs? Have the Chiefs had this otherworldly defense? No. No, they haven't. A lot of teams try to stop Lamar from running and make him a pocket passer. He's 24-1. You can't play 25 NFL games. 25 NFL games? Only one loss and then 0-6 in the rivalry games and the playoffs? Because face it, Lamar Jackson now has rivalry games in the regular season in the AFC against the Chiefs, who are the team to beat until further notice, and the Steelers, who are their natural rivals. So in rivalry games and the playoffs, he's 0-6. And he's 20-20. I can't even get over that. I've never heard of something like 24-1. Not in the NFL. I know I'm slicing the numbers to make my argument, but guys, it's pretty clear, isn't it? Don't tell me it's about not being able to beat a defense that doesn't let you run. Lots of teams do that when the light shines brightest. This is now a problem. I remember doing the radio with Marcellus Wiley, Max and Marcellus, on ESPN LA for 6 years, Afternoon Drive. And Marcellus was early on the Clayton Kershaw chokes thing. I wasn't sure. I wanted a larger sample size. But I had to admit early on, okay, there's some bad evidence here. And it turned out to be the case. Clayton Kershaw had an issue for a long time. Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning was, to this day, I think, the best regular season NFL player of all time. But he had a problem. Don't tell me, you know, like, not a small sample size. He had a problem in the playoffs. For years, he had an awful record in the playoffs. Awful numbers in the playoffs compared to the regular season. It's real. Clayton Kershaw, Peyton Manning, even Wilt Chamberlain. And by the way, Peyton Manning has two chips. Clayton Kershaw has one. Wilt has two, right? But even Wilt Chamberlain was not universally recognized as the greatest player ever because when Bill Russell was always doing what his team needed to do in a Game 7, Wilt Chamberlain rarely was. And as a result, he wound up with two chips instead of more. He wound up as among the all-time greats instead of the greatest, right? Lamar Jackson doesn't have the championships I mentioned from those other guys. Lamar Jackson puts up regular season numbers like he's James Harden. And like James Harden, has yet to win the big one. He's had far fewer bites at the apple. But what is noticeable early in Lamar Jackson's career, knock wood, that it's early in his career, what is noticeable is the drop-off in the moments of truth. Here's Lamar Jackson at the post-game presser.
The turnovers, I feel, is the reason we lost the game. I put that on me. The start of the game, the first drive, a pick six. Then we drive to the red zone, a fumble. I got to get the ball I could because we know they're dominant up front. And then a pick off the player from the flat, throwing at the mark. Got to clean those up, and I feel we won that game. So that's all to it.
What I love about Lamar Jackson is you see why guys like playing with him. No excuses, takes responsibility, owns it, understands exactly what the mistakes were, wants to correct them. That's all good. I don't doubt his good intentions, his leadership qualities, or his talent. Even his accuracy. I've seen him be accurate from the pocket. But I do question, and there's legit reason for concern right now, his ability to perform when the pressure is greatest. Is it a wrap? By the way, that was Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. I'm pausing now so you can hear something.
We had a Cam Newton fumble in the red zone in the final half minute of play.
That situation with the game on the line, you know, I'm dominantly right-handed. That's unacceptable. I got to protect the ball.
Is it a wrap for Cam Newton? As you just heard, he lost his first fumble of the season. Just over 30 seconds. You know, the Buffalo 14-yard line. That's three straight games now without a passing TD. Second longest streak of his career like that. Longest within a single season. As a team, New England, the New England Patriots, have thrown a league-low three passing touchdowns. We're like in week 26 right now. Three passing touchdowns. What's going on? The Patriots are the only team in the NFL that hasn't scored an offensive touchdown in the opening quarter of a game this season. And now they've lost four straight games for the first time since 02. It's not good. But you know what? I think about this, and this is a credit to Tom Brady. Never went off the rails with Tom Brady, no matter how little talent was on the team. It's kind of gone off the rails with Cam. And I want to point to two moments in this season. First of all, what Cam is missing is unbelievable. I actually took a screenshot on my phone of all the players missing because I couldn't keep track of them all. But let me just read you some of the guys that are not on the team right now. And forget about like Kyle Van Noy or someone like who left in free agency, right? Because there's a lot of talent that wasn't there when Tom Brady was there. And people were lamenting the fact, like, yeah, last year, let's remember, the defense carried the Patriots. They have so many guys off the defense right now. But the offense was like, boy, he has no offensive weapons. Well, yesterday, he also didn't have, in addition to everyone else I'm about to tell you, just because they were hurt, Julian Edelman or Sony Michel on the offensive side. On the offensive side, Edelman and Sony Michel. Now, already they have no weapons, but no Edelman, no Sony Michel. And on the defensive side, Stephon Gilmore. But, however, we're not even talking about guys who opted out because of COVID. Patrick Chung, Dante Hightower. Guys, this is Tom Brady's team minus the defense and whatever any competent offensive player, take them off of last year's team where he didn't have any weapons, but he had a couple guys he trusted like Edelman, right? Take those guys off and some high draft picks who weren't exactly turning out, but you had high hopes. Take those guys off the team and then also take the defense away. And yet, they start out with a win against the Dolphins, who turn out to be a very good team, obviously, from what they just did to L.A., with their rookie quarterback, what they just did to the Rams. And they beat up on the Raiders, who are also a pretty good team. And they played very well against the Chiefs without Cam due to COVID. And they had calls against them go against them in that game. Maybe with Cam, calls go for them, they win. Forget about all that. There are two games this year that would make you think completely differently about the Patriots and the kind of season Cam was having. Two plays, goal line against the Seahawks in a game where Cam looked like an MVP candidate, as did Russell Wilson. That Bobby Wagner makes a play on the goal line, stops Cam from scoring. If Cam scores on that play, and they beat the Seahawks, and Cam doesn't fumble the ball against the Bills, which is an error in technique, really. If he doesn't fumble the ball against the Bills, and if he punches it in against the Seahawks, instead of 2-5 right now, season going nowhere, this is disaster. What happened to Belichick, the greatest GM and coach in the game? What happened to Cam? He was supposed to be so, you know, good in the right situation. Instead of that, we're talking about the Patriots are 4-3 with wins against the Dolphins, the Raiders, the Seahawks, and the Bills. We're talking about is Cam having battled COVID and overcome in the MVP race. Oh my God, Belichick's a genius. We are. We're talking about that. Two plays. They go from 2-5. It's a wrap. Everyone's reputation has changed. To 4-3. Oh my God. Two plays. One against the Seahawks on the goal line. The other last night against the Bills. Fumble. So that's in defense of Belichick and Cam. They're working with practically nothing. Plus there's COVID. Plus Cam had COVID. Plus they had canceled practices. Plus they're missing everyone off the defense. Plus any kind of meager offensive capability they had last year is out due to injury. Two plays. And yet, Cam Newton said before the game, this is must win. When you know you're dealing with zero margin for error, you cannot afford to make that mistake. And here is the difference between Brady and Cam. Brady, throughout his career, it's a no excuses situation. There are explanations, but there are no excuses. In other words, cause and effect exists. You know when people say everything happens for a reason? It does, but not for why they think. It's not because of some magical, religious, or superstitious reason that things happen. Everything happens for a reason actually means something that is true. Cause and effect exists. Explanations simply go over the cause and effect. Excuses, you're saying, well, if only for this, then this would have happened. Here's where Tom Brady is worth his weight in gold, and it's why he's the GOAT. In those moments of truth, so often Tom Brady has come through. By the way, including on quarterback sneaks and stuff. Has not been the case for Cam Newton. And that separates the greats from the also-rans. Can you just imagine, just think about how you'd be feeling about the Patriots if Cam punches it in against the Seahawks and wins that game? And he doesn't fumble against the Bills. They score a TD and win that game. Well, you're assuming a TD. Oh, they certainly would have hit a field goal, you would think, and got it to overtime. But I think also a very good chance they score a touchdown. Two plays. And they're 4-3, and we're singing Cam and Belichick's praises. Two plays. But Brady seems to always make those plays. And Cam has not. And the fact that he called it going in a must win, what that means is you must win. But what you certainly can't do is have the ball stripped and turn it over and that be the reason you lose, because it's a high leverage moment. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Here's Cam Newton asked about carrying the ball in his left hand on the fumble and turnover.
That situation, you know, with the game on the line, you know, I'm dominantly right-handed. So prior to me putting the ball in my left hand, which is my weakest arm, I just felt more comfortable with the ball in my right hand. I usually always tend to run with my right hand just for comfort.
All right, but if it gets punched out, that is an explanation. But it's not an excuse. Cause and effect exists, yes. And then we have to take responsibility for it. Not that he's not trying to. I think Cam is taking responsibility. But in this case, it means I'm not good enough, guys. And he's said that. But the truth of the matter is he has not been. COVID plays a role. Talent on the roster plays a role. Opt-outs play a role. Injuries play a role. All those things play roles. There's no doubt about it. And yet it all adds up to a 2-5 record. And you just get the feeling if Brady was the quarterback of the team, maybe they are 4-3 instead of 2-5. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive celebrating 8 years of donating cars to veterans in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. Dolphins beat the Rams. Did Tua pass his first test? There's been some controversy about that. I'm going to tell you what to think about it. While you can't believe everything on social media these days, you can believe it's possible to start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. from the comfort of your own home, and even if you have zero computer experience. Instead of waiting to see what happens when life gets back to normal, take control of your future now. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu, 888-SAY-ESPN. Did Tua Tagovailoa pass the test? Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Seahawks sitting atop the NFC. Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Oh, Primo's on the line. Primo in South Central, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, Max, I'm just thinking about what you're saying. Of course, I'm still Joe Montana is still my greatest quarterback. But I'm telling you, Russell Wilson is moving up that ladder. I'm telling but listen, man, I want to talk about Cam. Cam Newton, I saw him when he first got to the league, man. It looks like Michelangelo drew a man on a canvas. The man looked perfect. He's so big. But look, this is his last stop, man. That guy should not be failing. Things happen once in a while to you, but in the big moment, him not diving for that ball in the Super Bowl.
You're right, Primo's
I will
right.
Never forget that scene.
You're right.
That
by the way, I didn't care, Primo. Primo, hold on a second. I didn't care that he didn't answer questions at the press conference. Would have been nice after the Super Bowl if he did, but whatever. Criticism about that's whatever. Jump on the ball. That ball is loose. Super Bowl's on the line. It's still a winnable game. Jump on the ball. Jump on the ball. And if he had it back, I think he'd jump on the ball. I think it was a lesson learned, but how many more times you get the opportunity to show that you've learned that lesson? High leverage moment. Bad, bad decision by Cam. In this year, he has not passed the ball. Look, his offensive line's been okay. The defense is gone from last year. The offense, Brady has no weapons. Much, much worse in terms of the weapons than last year. Because it's the same offensive players, but fewer of them are on the field. And none of the good ones. So he's working with very little, but that means there's very little margin for error. And throughout his career, Tom Brady showed that with little margin for error, he would still get it done. That's what I mean. There are explanations. Cause and effect exists. But there are no excuses in terms of that stuff. In other words, you got to take responsibility for it. News from Max Kellerman Nation. Primo, longtime call listener and caller to the Max Kellerman and Max and Marcella shows. Just hit me up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Joe Montana is a lot of people's goats still, and is for good reason. Montana not only was 4-0 in the Super Bowl, and if you look at the Super Bowl stats, they're ridiculous. And that was in an era before these passing numbers. And then when he went to Kansas City at the end of his career, he took a team to the AFC Championship game without Bill Walsh. So maybe Tom Brady will do the same thing without Bill Belichick now. But I think considering Tom Brady's longevity and the 6 championships, Tom Brady supplanted Joe Montana as the GOAT. Still, Joe Montana, you can't go wrong. Who do I take next? That's the question. Robin in New York. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
It's Rob, not Robin, but I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. Yeah. Listen, as a long-time Jets fan, 50 years old, I've been a Jets fan all my life, I would love to have Lamar Jackson as our quarterback. I would love to have Lamar Jackson as our quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, look at where he is now in his career compared to Sam Darnold.
They're the same age.
You compared him to James Harden. You know, there are a lot of very promising athletes who don't quite put it all together in their first few years. You know, one of those was Michael Jordan. I'm not saying Lamar Jackson's going to be the greatest of all time, but I think he's a very talented quarterback.
First of all, Michael Jordan point. I need to – I need to correct something about Michael Jordan point. That's a nonsense narrative that people tell to make Jordan actually to bring him down a peg and humanize him. Michael Jordan, basically from his third season, was the greatest player who ever played. From his third season, even though it wasn't recognized at the time. Third season when he averaged 37 points in an era where that was impossible. Fourth season, he went 32-8-8 before that was possible. But he did it. And the bottom line about Michael Jordan is he never played with another All-Star. Never. Not one single other All-Star. Ever. The first time he did, he took the Pistons 7 games. And Pippen got a migraine in that game, scored 2 points in 40 minutes, so he wasn't an All-Star again. Then the next year, he never again didn't win the championship in under 7 games. Jordan's a bad comparison. Jordan had to figure it out. He had to figure out how to play with good players. That's all. He didn't have any at first. Lamar Jackson has good players on his team. And by the way, I understand the larger point. I'm not damning Lamar Jackson, condemning him, in my opinion, to a lifetime of futility under pressure. I'm saying so far, the sample size has grown large enough to say he's having a problem with the pressure. Doesn't mean he can't get over it, but so far, that's what's going on. And that's why you never hear, who's the best quarterback in football? Tell me the group of quarterbacks. Remember last year, Lamar Jackson was on a lot of people's lips. He won the MVP after all. There's Patrick Mahomes in his own category. Then there's Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson. And then people are looking at what Brady's doing with that group, and it's getting better and better. And let's see what happens when AB gets there. It's an embarrassment of riches. We'll see how much Drew Brees has left. We have these young ascending quarterbacks, the rookies, like Herbert and Burrow, and maybe Tua, who everyone has high hopes for. There's a group of other quarterbacks, middle, upper middle class quarterbacks, that people like a lot. Can't think of one single name from that list. Let me tell you, right around, just got to think of a team, and Josh Allen, young and ascending, you know. But anyway, Lamar Jackson was named in that Mahomes, Rodgers, Wilson. He's not talked about like that anymore. News from Max Kellerman Nation. Rob just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line.
I'm going to go with we'll find out maybe next week on Tua Ting. And I know that's not the world we live in right now, but I don't have something that I can point to today and say, yep, major upgrade, or yep, they made a huge mistake.
Wait, who was that? I couldn't recognize the voice. Oh, Field Yates. Of course, Field Yates. Quite a name that dude laid on us when he burst onto the scene, Field Yates. Was Tua a success in his debut? Had bad under 100 yards passing. Ugh. Didn't look good, right? Wrong. Tua had an excellent debut. This is why I believe they started him against the LA Rams and Aaron Donald. Baptism by fire. In the crucible of the NFL, we find out it separates the men from the boys. And I love Tua's reaction after the game. You hear him? Talking about, I'm not going to lie, I liked it. He liked that. I believe him. I don't think he's just saying that to convince us he did. I think he liked that introduction to the NFL because guess what? It ain't ever going to get harder than that. It's never going to get worse than Aaron Donald coming up the middle. Your first play, arguably the greatest defensive player of all time. I don't think you win that argument. I think LT wins that argument. But there's Lawrence Taylor. There's Deion Sanders. There's J.J. Watt and Bruce Smith and Reggie White. There's a group of, you know, 5 to 10 elite defenders who are just different. Aaron Donald's one of them. You're not looking at any of those dudes and saying, Aaron Donald's not in his class. Yes, he is. Aaron Donald's in anyone's class. And he's in his prime. And he's coming to get you. And you get body slammed and strip sacked the first time you touch the ball. So why was it a success if that happened and he threw for under 100 yards? Why was it a success? Because in a full contact sport, in a violent sport, at the highest level, I think we see that Tua can be accurate. I mean, he was rusty. He's coming off not playing in forever and coming off a catastrophic injury and surgery. Herbert and Burrow have seen action more recently than Tua. And they're not coming off huge surgeries and catastrophic injuries. Tua's going to take a few weeks for him to shake the rust off. But how about the touchdown pass he threw? Threaded the needle. That was a perfectly thrown ball. And not just perfectly thrown, it was extra. That was extra, even by NFL standards. threw one touchdown, no interceptions. His team won the game. And then, listen, later on, they didn't have the most, like, vertical pass strategy. You know, vertical pass happy strategy in the second half. And it worked. So why was it a success? Precisely because of what I just said. In your you haven't played in a long time. You're coming off a catastrophic injury and surgery. You're undersized. And in your first game, you're facing Aaron Donald. And the first time you touch the ball, he's coming for you. He gets you. Your body slammed and strip sacked. And you get up. And even if you want to say he didn't lead his team to victory, he rode his defense to victory. That's fine. One touchdown, no interceptions, his team won. Yeah, right. By the way, you know what a guy like Carson Wentz this year might have tried to do? Too much and you lose the game. He didn't try to do too much. He just did what was asked of him. And whether or not you think he led his team to victory, if you think he just rode his team to victory, that's fine. That's why you start him against the Rams. Let's see what we got. Fitzpatrick is good enough to be dangerous to a team like the Dolphins. He's good enough to get you a winning record, maybe to the playoffs. Maybe even he could win a playoff game. Who knows? You ain't going to win no Super Bowls with Fitzpatrick. Let's be honest. You might with Tua if you have something going forward. You got to start finding out. And we found out. Takes a licking, got right up, and his team won. Max Kellerman Show is brought to you by Shell. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Time to bench Jimmy G for good? No Doubt is next. Starting Monday, November 9th, you can stream the Max Kellerman Show daily on ESPN+. With ESPN+, you can stream the Max Kellerman Show. You can also get live sports, exclusive originals, and more. By the way, ESPN Plus is the best deal in media right now. I'm not saying that because I'm on ESPN, although, of course, I'm sure they like it that I do say it. But remember, like, ESPN Insider? It was worth $5 to get behind the paywall, right? ESPN Plus is Insider Plus, I don't know, the best fights? Like, you can see Lomachenko and Terrence Crawford and Naoya Inoue? Who's he? One of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world? I mean, it doesn't stop there. How about Teofimo Lopez? On and on. I could list a whole bunch more. Jose Ramirez, Josh, are the best fighters in the world. And everything else you get with ESPN+. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. As always, you can hear us on ESPN radio stations all across the country, Sirius XM, and the ESPN app. No Doubt's coming up.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Lamar Jackson win the big game? A lot of people tweeting at me, Max, you're better than this take. No, I'm not. I'm exactly as good as that take. No better than that take. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. No Doubt is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. I'm going to get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No Doubt.
All right, Raj, what you got?
All right, Max. After seeing those Browns struggle against the Raiders, the Browns do need Odell Beckham.
Nah, son. When you say do need Odell Beckham, what difference does it make? They're not only winning a Super Bowl with this squad, not with Baker Mayfield as the quarterback. And does Odell make them better? Yeah, Odell's not going to make a team worse, but I think it's important to separate Odell and Baker for the both of them. I don't think they have chemistry. I think it's holding both of them back. That's it. That's all I got.
Hey, stop me if you've heard this before, Max. Stop me if you've heard this before, okay. But the Chargers lost another close game. Take a listen to Coach Anthony Lynn.
Well, what do you want to do? Go hire new players, go hire new coaches right in the middle of the season? You can't do that. You know, this is what we have, and we got to figure this out right now.
He's tempting fate.
After losing another close game.
Yeah.
Hey, after losing another close game, the Chargers must fire Anthony Lynn.
Nah, son. The Chargers inventing ways to lose.
Another year?
Another year? The Chargers inventing ways to lose predates Anthony Lynn, and it predates Justin Herbert. As I said, the Chargers and the Falcons are the two franchises where their fans through the years are like, all right, how are we going to figure out a way to lose this one? It's more heartbreaking than just stinking, right? Because they actually lift your hopes. But although I guess, look, they made some changes in Atlanta, didn't they? maybe the same will be true in for the Chargers. I keep wanting to say in San Diego, but I wouldn't. I think you have a promising young quarterback. He's a rookie. I think you have talent on that team, and I would give it some time.
All right. Hey, it's Jimmy G's birthday. He's 29 today. Happy birthday, Jimmy G. However, the 49ers need to bench Jimmy G.
Nah, son. Not unless he's actually hurt. Look, he re-injured his ankle, and if he can't play, then yes, then no doubt you bench him, right? But when you say bench, that's different than not letting a guy play hurt, right? So you don't bench him, but you don't start him because you're trying to protect your franchise quarterback. He's the franchise quarterback, make no mistake. Just like I said about Lamar Jackson, Jimmy G almost never loses. And the Niners almost never lose when he's quarterback. They've lost two games this year when he's, look at him, he's hobbling on ESPN News. You're seeing it now. He's hobbling off the field. He had a bum ankle in two games they lost. Otherwise, look, throughout his career, he almost never loses for a franchise that can't win without him. He's way above replacement level. So you don't bench Jimmy G, but you do protect the ankle if it's not good.
All right, hey, check it out. Your New York Giants could shock the world tonight versus a Bucks team that could be looking past them.
No doubt.
Nah, son.
Boy, it's a sweep. We've never had all four nah, sons. Come on, I was giving you a chance.
Oh, my God. The Giants beating the Patriots, I said, because of Tom Brady. The Bucks are not... Well, not only do they have an embarrassment of riches on the offensive side of the ball... They also have an excellent defense. And now they just added Antonio Brown, when last seen on a football field, was playing with Tom Brady, for whom he caught he was targeted, I think, 8 times. He caught 3 first downs and a TD. He just walked onto the team. Whew. Lamar can beat a lot of teams, but can he beat a team when they need it most? Max Kellerman, Show ESPN Radio.